Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Netflix presents a Netflix original film in association with Animal Kingdom, Beachside, and Rook's Nest. Five older men in summer clothes are gathered in an apartment kitchen monitoring a horse race as it appears on a young man's laptop.
And it's rocking with Dewey continuing to race in second. And then comes Mosher Hall, Handover Bell, and Perfect Alliance is still at the back of the field in 56 and 3/5 seconds. And now NF Happenstance leads the charge around the far turn. NF Happenstance, 3/4 of a length. Mystery Woman second on the outside. Rockin' with Dewey is third to the inside. And they're being followed by Handover Bell, Mosher Hall, and Perfect Alliance is still at the back. And they're into the stretch, 3/4 and 1:24 and 2. And it is still NF Happenstance. And here comes Mystery Woman to the outside. And in the center, Handover Bell.
Come on, Pichenta.
The young man writes in a notebook. A woman gives cash to some men and takes money from others as they file out.
Seven or five for us?
Vaughn should tell you.
Okay, bye.
Five.
What is it?
Five. For us.
For us.
11. Each.
The middle-aged blonde woman closes her money pouch and slumps into an armchair. The tall, dark-haired young man appears to be in his early 20s. Sitting by an open window, he scratches his head with both hands, then stares off glumly. Their small apartment is cluttered with family photos, books and ornaments, homemade pastries, a portrait of the Pope, and a porcelain nativity scene. Later, the young man chops carrots and fries fish in a tiny kitchen. He rolls a lemon on a cutting board and squeezes its juice into a bowlful of diced tomatoes. He munches on tidbits and bounces his head in time with music as he cooks. Afterwards, he painstakingly prepares three mismatched plates with beautifully presented food. The young man and his mother sit across from each other at a small table set for three, the prepared plates resting in front of them. The third plate sits in front of an empty chair between them. She fidgets with her water glass. He shifts restlessly, puts his elbows on the table, and looks at her. Danny.
I'm starting.
Ola.
No, we wait for him.
He answers a phone call from a slightly older, long-haired young man on a prison payphone.
Hello.
You have a collect call from the Atlantic County Correctional Facility from...
Darren.
Press 1 to accept.
Darren.
Hey.
Where are you?
Jail.
Jesus.
What did you do?
Nah, it's nothing. I've been trying to call you. Pay your fucking cell phone?
Yeah, I get paid on Monday. What happened?
I'm down in Atlantic City.
Come on.
Just some asshole. I ended up having to smash in his window.
Misdemeanor. Point is, I'm stuck here. I gotta spend the night.
Darren.
Which is why I need you to help me out. I got this thing going on tomorrow, so you gotta do it and pretend you're me. You'll get in a guy's car and deliver a briefcase.
Elsewhere, a brunette girl in her early 20s smokes a cigarette on a commuter train platform. Phone call continues. Darren.
There's $1,500 in it for me. You know I need it.
I'll be very proud of you.
What's in the suitcase?
It's a briefcase.
What's in the briefcase?
Give it.
No, I'm not doing... You don't know?
The girl now sits in a train seat, reading a paperback book. Darren on the phone.
Jakieś papiery, man. It's nothing major.
I'm not doing that.
Put mom on the phone.
Danny?
On the train, the girl looks up from her book to see a conductor approaching. She is suddenly gone from her seat and sits in a train restroom with the conductor knocking at the door.
Miss, I already told you, if you don't have a ticket, you'll have to get off the train.
The young man's mother takes the phone. Danny eats his meal while she talks to Darren.
Dare, co się stało? Gdzie jesteś?
Musisz to dla niego zrobić. Aniel, synuś?
To jest bezpieczne? No dobra, to się nic nie ma. Poczekaj, zaraz to załatwię.
She turns to Danny.
Your brother needs you. You're doing it.
Porozmawiaj z nim od razu.
The girl stands on a station platform while a train zooms past her. Danny takes notes while Darren gives instructions over the phone. Darren.
Listen, all right?
There'll be a woman on a bench with a green purse, and you swap your briefcase for hers.
Green purse.
You're not writing this down, are you?
Danny stops writing.
No.
Okay.
Darren.
Good.
Don't be stupid. I really need this money.
I owe you one, all right? Just, I'll pay yourself. All right,
she's gonna have a green pocketbook and...
All right, but whose car am I getting into?
Darren.
Just one sec. Look, you just got to do this for me, okay?
Damn, I'm going to do it, but who's the guy driving the car?
I promise you'll do this. All right, Danny, promise me you'll do it.
I'm doing it.
But who's the guy driving the car?
The inmate hangs up on them. Next, the girl walks through a bustling train station. The title, Tramps, appears. An Animal Kingdom production, made in New York. Copyright 2016.
You gotta swipe.
The girl accosts patrons swiping transit passes at a train station turnstile. When the coast is clear, she hops over a turnstile and enters the station illicitly. Next, she sits on a crowded train, looking around with a bored expression. She enters a bar at night and gazes off, listening to a rumpled man in his 30s with short brown hair and a receding hairline.
There's this one guy, like, from Philly, I think. They got like a Philly vibe, and Russell and Jimmy know him. Russell's been a big pain in the ass, but Jimmy, he gets it, you know, like he knows that I can come through for him, and shit's been weird since the bust, but this is a good situation because these guys are, they're professional, you know, not like Howie, that guy doesn't know what he's doing, but and the plan is intricate, you know what I mean? It's like a clock, you know, like everything fits together and everyone gets protected.
I want more money.
No.
Well, I'm driving. I'm keeping the clock running.
What are you talking about? You came to me for work. I mean, how'd you lose that job anyway?
Creative differences.
Oh, really? And how's Ricky's check cashing con paying off for you? Because no one asked you to skip town to Pittsburgh for some greaseball shithead.
Yeah, well, he did.
I mean, if you don't go back to Pittsburgh, I have a queen-size bed.
She frowns at his meaningful look, and he averts his eyes.
You've done worse.
Well, I'm going back to Pittsburgh, so I'm fine on the couch, Scott.
Do the job.
He swigs a bottle of beer and shoots her a look. Later, she takes a shower, staring pensively as water runs over her face and long dark curls. Afterwards, she nicks her finger while clipping her nails. Dressed in a red t-shirt and jeans, she smokes a cigarette and looks out at the night through Scott's open apartment window.
This is the phone. Don't make any outgoing calls. And these are the keys to the Sentra.
But he said it was an Altima.
It's a fucking Nissan. It doesn't matter. It's like gonna be the only red Nissan on the block.
What's in the briefcase?
I don't know. You can't know everything, Ellie. Sometimes you gotta just do it.
Later, she tosses restlessly, attempting to sleep on Scott's couch. She opens her eyes and stares at the darkness. A digital clock radio reads 7:39 as Danny awakens in his sunny bedroom. Scenes alternate between Danny and Ellie as they each start the day. He stirs eggs in a bowl while she brushes her teeth with her fingers. He sits at the table eating while she packs her backpack with cigarettes and car keys. They leave their respective apartments. She drags on a smoke, then tosses the butt away at a train station entrance. He serves burgers and chicken in a fast food restaurant. I went around your way. I went around your way.
I went to 182nd and Audubon. Please, are you wrong?
His female boss nods her head. He pulls off his uniform shirt and cap, then hurries out the restaurant door in a blue t-shirt and beige pants. Now, on a quiet city street, Ellie leans against a brick building, smoking a cigarette, as Danny comes walking down the block. He spots the red Sentra, looks inside the car window, then looks around at the road. Standing behind him, she stands alertly and studies him.
Are you the guy?
Yeah. You the guy?
Yeah, I'm the girl.
Right. I can see that.
Get in.
She climbs into the driver's seat and he gets in beside her. They drive through city neighborhoods in tense silence. They sit in the car, parked on a street outside a red brick building with iron fencing. He glances around nervously while she stares straight ahead, her hands on the steering wheel. He turns in his seat and looks out the back window. She turns too, and they both check their surroundings.
Do you know what the guy it looks like?
No.
It is a guy, right?
They look around anxiously. He has his back to the passenger window when a young black man with a frizzy afro knocks on the window.
Keep the car on. Roll this back window down.
He leaves. Danny and Ellie twist in their seats, watching and listening and exchanging glances.
Come back.
The black man deposits a black briefcase in the car through the open back window, then runs off. Ellie quickly drives away.
Do you think that they got the license
plate? I don't know.
Because, man, do you know who the girl is that I got at me with the green bag?
They sit in traffic, then drive under a bridge. Then she drops him off at a train station entrance.
Good luck.
The windshield wipers come on accidentally as she scrambles to put the car in gear. She drives off, and he runs up a stairway with the briefcase in hand. Arriving on the train station platform, he looks around anxiously, then draws near to a young blonde businesswoman who is texting. She has a teal green purse on her lap, a shopping bag, and a brown leather satchel at her side. She looks up, makes eye contact and nods politely, then returns her attention to her phone. He nods awkwardly, walks past her, and sets the briefcase down beside her satchel. He paces and shifts, licks his lips, and scans the area as a train arrives behind them. When the doors open, he quickly snatches her satchel and boards the train, while she remains seated and continues texting. As the train doors close, he looks out to see a young black woman sitting on a platform bench with a bright green bag on her lap and a black briefcase at her side. They make eye contact through the closed glass doors, and she tips her head toward her green bag. He stares at her as the train pulls out of the station. He paces frantically inside the moving train, scratching erratically and rummaging through the satchel. stops at the next station. He races through the doors as they open, then runs along a city street with a satchel in hand. Ellie stops the car elsewhere in the city, removes the keys from the ignition, and conceals them in a pop-down sunglasses compartment. She refers to a scrap of paper and makes a cell phone call. She takes the SIM card out of the phone and drops it through a storm drain grate as she walks away from the car. She looks over her shoulder as she pulls her backpack on and continues on foot. Meanwhile, Danny looks both ways before running across the street with a satchel. He sprints along a sidewalk, then dashes up the previous train station stairway. He darts around the platform, sees that both women are gone, and slams the satchel against the wall in frustration. Ellie jogs up the stairs as Danny is scurrying back down.
Oh my god. Oh my god. It's you. You don't even know what I just did.
He follows her as she runs back down the stairs and hurries along the street.
Don't run. Please don't run. I just need a number or something. An address or something. Like, you're not gonna help me? I just gave the briefcase to the wrong woman. Exactly. What are we gonna do? What am I gonna do? I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not even supposed to be here with my brother. Do you know my brother, Darren?
Don't fucking tell me his name.
Why do you want to know? Look. You're not gonna get your 1500 either, okay?
1500?
Yeah, 1500. That's all I know. All I know is the briefcase.
They're paying you fucking $1,500?
I think so. I don't even know.
Give me your phone. Give me your fucking phone.
I don't have it. I didn't pay my bill. What are we gonna do?
She locates a payphone, which is out of order.
You got a quarter?
I got a phone card. You can call him? You calling?
Sitting in a park, one thug rolls his eyes while another chews out Scott.
This is not fucking rocket science. How hard is it? You walk up to the fucking platform, you exchange the suitcase.
I
got an 8-year-old that could do it, but you give it to this fucking Moloch and look what happens. You're so fucking stupid. Now you fucking...
Stop talking, Russell.
Ellie calls Scott's cell phone.
Hold up. Who's this?
Well, hello there.
I think we got a problem.
Yeah, no shit. $1,500, Scott? Like some idiot getting twice as much as me.
He with you now?
Yes.
You have the thing?
No. But I have the address where it's going. I think we got it under control, okay? It's just gonna take a little longer.
We got it under control.
It's gonna cost you.
Okay. The full $1,500.
Twice that.
What the fuck do I care? It's coming out of your shit. Okay. And she brings Darren. I don't want him running around until this is done. Okay, so you deliver the thing and you bring him with you tonight. You can keep his share too.
Ellie eyes Danny as he stands watching her at a payphone.
Okay. All right.
New Ebony Hotel, room 1310, 10 p.m.
1310, got it. Let's go.
Oh, wait. You don't need me. You got the address. Take the bag. I don't want it anymore.
What does the woman look like?
She's got blonde hair. She had a white shirt on. She's...
Yeah, exactly. Let's go.
Scenes of the city. Busy pedestrians go about their day. Street vendors prepare takeaway food. A woman chooses fruit at an open-air market. A commuter train passes on an overhead trestle. Danny and Ellie wait on the platform, then board a train together. They stare in different directions as they ride. She rummages through the satchel, then they both stare off again. Enter a central terminal where he follows her through the crowd.
What's the address on the pills again?
He consults a prescription bottle that he found in the satchel.
31 Mariassas Road. It's in Briarcliff.
At a ticket window.
Hi, what train goes to Briarcliff?
Scottsboro.
Okay, thank you.
A wide view inside the hectic terminal shows a muddle of people walking in all directions. Sitting on a commuter train, Danny steals glances at Ellie while she reads her book with her feet up on the bench across from her. Later, they walk along a sunny platform in the suburbs, where there is a lake view with forests and mountains in the distance.
You want to guess what my name is? My name is Danny. Come on, tell me your name.
I'm not telling you my name.
All right. Where are you from?
Look, you fucked up, so you lost knowing shit privileges, all right?
You know, you can be a real...
A what? Huh? A real bitch?
What? No. I was gonna say you can be a tough nut to crack, but...
Are you really gonna say tough nut to crack?
Yeah. Wow, what's wrong with that?
I live in Pittsburgh.
Well, how's Pittsburgh?
A lot of shitty people.
Huh. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, you didn't build it.
So you live with anyone in Pittsburgh? You know, you got a roommate or, you know, you got a boyfriend?
I live with a Ricky.
What's a Ricky? No, I had a lizard named Ricky once.
Sounds about right.
He stops to look at a timetable board.
Come on, I'm done with stuff.
She drags on a cigarette as he follows her through a pleasant, well-to-do community with a satchel in hand. A woman points, giving them directions. Then they continue along a roadway bordered by trees.
I get home, I'm gonna be satisfied.
Who do you think lives out here?
Rich people.
So, how much do you think these houses cost?
Why, you in the market?
No.
I get home, I'm gonna be sad.
They walk past a deserted carnival midway.
What about Sacramento? You ever been there?
No, thank God.
There's a job opening there. Cause I'm a chef, you know? In a nice restaurant in the city. You know what farm to table is, right? I'm more of a cook, I guess.
Can I share whatever, but you don't have to leave New York?
Yeah, I know, but my living situation is not great.
Fine, but there's restaurants everywhere.
That's true. So what about you? What do you do?
I'm recently unemployed.
Oh, really? What did you do?
I was a bartender. But I've been like fancy cocktails.
That's cool. That's cool. I got this friend Lev that I went to high school with. He's a bar back in the city at this bar, and he's just like, I don't know, his favorite drink to make is just like egg whites.
Look, I wasn't a bartender, okay? I worked in a strip club.
Wait. Okay. I bet you were successful with that, you know?
What the fuck's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, just because you're pretty, and you're smart, and...
Well, I wasn't. I was only waitress, okay? I didn't strip or work the back.
Right.
I'm serious. I don't sleep around. What, you don't believe me?
I believe you.
Guess how many guys I've slept with?
It doesn't matter. You don't have to tell me.
Guess.
I'm not guessing. That's stupid. I'm not going to guess.
7.
Okay.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. I probably would have said higher.
Oh, so you're saying I look like a whore now?
No, I just... I wouldn't even think you were a whore if you slept with, like, 100 guys.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you to judge me?
I'm not judging you. That's why I don't want to guess.
They continue past an A&P pharmacy, jog across a street, and walk along a curving roadway bordered by trees and tall grass.
We're lost.
Shouldn't be.
No, I've seen that house before.
I don't know. Maybe you were here when you were a kid.
He keeps walking. She pauses briefly, then follows him.
I'm gonna be satisfied.
You know, if that was the right left, then this is Mariasis.
If they put up a fucking street sign, we'd be able to tell.
She rifles through a roadside mailbox.
Hey, what are you doing?
Looking for an address.
No. You can't do this. It's a federal crime.
Yeah, well, I got an accomplice. Look, it is the right street.
A silver SUV stops.
Can I help you?
Hey, do you live here?
I do not.
Neither do we.
No. You don't look much like the Cuticoffs.
The Cuticoffs? Yeah, we're just with them.
We're just a little lost.
You know what I do when I'm lost? I call the police. Shall I call them for you?
No.
Thanks, we're just gonna leave.
Thank you.
Good idea.
Sorry.
Don't worry about it, he's driving a fucking SUV.
What does that mean?
He's an asshole.
The gray-haired SUV driver turns right. Danny and Ellie go the opposite way, arrive at a driveway with tall stone gateposts, and pass between open iron gates. They follow a long paved driveway through immaculate grounds with lovely hedges and ornamental trees. Then they turn onto a stone walkway that leads to an impressive brown brick mansion. Ellie bangs a door knocker against the wooden front door. She peers through a window.
I don't think anyone's home.
A blonde teenage girl answers the door.
Hey, it's in the living room. Don't let the dog out.
She disappears inside and leaves the door ajar.
Is that the girl that took the bag?
No. This girl's younger.
They enter the house hesitantly.
Huh?
I guess.
They pass through an entrance hall trimmed with dark solid wood, then look around a beautifully appointed living room with high ceilings, tall windows, white sofas, and an array of liquor bottles arranged on a sideboard.
I don't think she's talking about the briefcase.
I think we just have to find her and ask her.
Yeah, let's do that.
They continue into a hallway.
Hello?
They arrive in a high-end kitchen decorated with white cabinets, fruit illustrations, and family photos.
Hello?
A large terrarium sits on a side table with a lizard inside under heat lamps.
Hey, look, it's a Ricky.
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
It's a big lizard.
They peer at a ring-tailed gecko, lounging in pink sand.
I don't know why they give kids pets that die so young.
Maybe let them be sad about something small before the really sad things happen.
Ellie gives Danny a long look. He makes eye contact, then leads the way through a dining room and back to the entrance hall.
Come on. And, you know, lizards have a really long lifespan, like 20 years.
So what happened to Ricky?
Well, his living situation wasn't exactly ideal either. No.
Whose is?
She follows him upstairs.
These guys. Hello? Hello?
They pass two open doors on their way through an upper hallway.
Hello? Where is she?
Yeah, where's the dog?
They enter a tastefully decorated, old-fashioned bedroom with a large four-post bed, angled ceilings, and dormer windows with a view of the driveway.
Hey, look, someone's coming home. I think that's the guy with the SUV.
What?
They peer through a window at the approaching SUV.
Hide.
What are you doing? Come on.
Danny and Ellie finally reach the top of the stairs as the gray-haired SUV driver arrives in the entrance hall below. They quickly sneak back to the upper hallway, slip into a bathroom, and shut the door. He crosses to a casement-style window and swings it open. Ellie shakes her head fearfully as Danny drops the satchel outside, then climbs through the window and lowers himself to the ground. She turns toward the bathroom door in a panic, then looks out the window at Danny, who gestures and nods reassuringly from a patio below. She climbs onto the window ledge and jumps down to the patio unscathed. Danny collects the satchel, then they run around the house to find the teenage girl sitting on a terrace with earbud headphones in. The girl eyes them strangely as they stand breathlessly before her.
We didn't let the dog out.
The girl frowns indifferently as Danny and Ellie run off. They hightail it down the driveway and through the gates. I met the voodoo man. His voodoo wouldn't work. They slow to a fast walk, then pause on a shady hill.
You know what? Look, I'm going back up there. I'm going back up there. I'm going to explain to them. Take my ID. If I get arrested, I'm going to give a false name.
The name isn't the problem. You've been seen by half the family. Come on, let's just wait till they go in the morning. The wife will probably leave the briefcase inside and we'll go in and get it.
Yeah, and what if it's not there?
Then we'll leave. All right? We just gotta wait and see.
Look, I'm sorry, all right? I screwed up. It's my fault. I'm gonna forfeit my share, okay? But I can't stay here the whole night.
No, you have to.
Why? Why? And honestly, you should come with me. We should let them deal with this. This is their problem. This has nothing to do with us.
Well, unless you know how someone who's broke can make enough money to get out of a shitty situation, then it's worth it to me.
Are you using the money to get away from that guy?
Yes, okay. I'm using the money to leave Pittsburgh.
Okay.
They tramp along the roadside at dusk, then trek through a grassy shoulder at the edge of a forest.
Hey, good job back there. You know, from not letting the dog out and stuff.
They arrive at a motor hotel restaurant after dark. In the ladies' room, Ellie puts her hair into a ponytail, studies her reflection, and adjusts her red t-shirt. Danny takes a bar seat in the deserted restaurant, and the bartender approaches.
You gonna order something?
Yeah, sure. What can we get for $9?
Is that including tip?
Sure.
The bartender scowls and turns away. Then Ellie approaches.
Here's your phone.
The bartender hands her a cordless phone. She refers to a scrap of paper as she dials.
You have reached the voicemail box of
Scott.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, it's me. We're fine, we're on it, but we got delayed, so it won't be going down till tomorrow. So yeah, we'll be at the motel in the morning.
So what do you say?
Couldn't reach him.
All right, look, let's get some food. You need food? I need food, I'm starving. Yeah?
Okay.
Kids menu or appetizers?
They smile at each other. Next, as Danny and Ellie sit at a restaurant table and chat, scenes appear of them strolling through the carnival midway while it is in full operation, with colorful blinking lights, amusement rides, and stuffed animal prizes hanging in game booths and kiosks. The restaurant.
So what about you? You got a roommate? Girlfriend?
Well, I was seeing this girl in my building last year.
Oh, really? With that little hair thing above your lip?
What's wrong with my mustache?
All right, who else?
I want to talk about this with you.
Oh, come on, give me something.
He calls his mother from the bar. Danny.
Tobadzo's dead to letter.
Very bad for Darren?
Ma.
It could be very bad for me.
Sitting at the restaurant table.
What about high school? Some scandalous hallway hookups. Some stairway action.
All right. Rebecca Vargas. She touched my penis in 10th grade.
Wow, Rebecca Vargas.
Yeah, Rebecca Vargas. Rebecca Vargas back then. Oh, my God, man. Oh, I don't know if it counts, though. It's...
Why wouldn't it count?
Oh. All right. Mike Budavin, a friend of mine, he told everyone whoever got Rebecca Vargas to touch their penis first wins the special prize.
What was the special prize?
Let's have Rebecca Vargas touch your penis.
Makes sense.
Right. Anyway, she found out about this prize being associated with her, and she wanted to know what it was. And so she asked me, and I said that I would tell her, but she had to touch my penis first. So she tapped it with her pinky, and that's how I won the special prize.
Danny's phone call. Ola.
Daniel.
Just come home now. You'll make supper, and the betters are coming early tomorrow. We should just let Darren handle it.
Nie mam problemu z tym. Słuchaj, a w ogóle gracze to zaczynają jutro wcześniej obstawiać. Pamiętaj o tym.
He gazes in Ellie's direction.
Nie.
Daniel?
Danny.
That's the style.
I'm gonna stay.
Mom.
Daniel. Daniel, hello.
He disconnects and returns the phone to the bartender. They watch candy floss being spun at the carnival. The restaurant conversation continues.
I don't know if that's the sweetest or saddest story I've ever heard in my life.
No, no, it's the sweetest. It's the sweetest.
For the record, it counts.
Really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, she touched your penis, right?
He chuckles and shakes his head with embarrassment. Scenes of the carnival as Danny and Ellie saunter about, taking in the sights. A little boy dances around with a bubble maker. An older lady spins white strands of candy floss around a paper comb. Numerous colored light bulbs flash on a kiosk ceiling. A pair of teenagers zooms down a steep slide. Adults ride in airborne swings and a Ferris wheel. Little kids ride around and around in little cars. Later at night, lights are on inside the mansion as Danny and Ellie cross the grounds, amble past the swimming pool, and enter a pretty little poolside shed.
You don't think that we should just sleep in the woods?
I am not sleeping in the woods.
What if this is a barn?
The pool shed?
I don't know.
Don't worry. It's not a lot. Come on. Live a little.
Sitting in dim light on the pool shed floor, Ellie has a towel wrapped around her shoulders.
He ends up going to court. And he was in the courtroom going, it was a ghost. And the judge was like, I know the ghost. I've seen it. So we got off.
Whoa. So what do you cook?
Everything.
I mean at the restaurant.
Oh, it's a nice little Italian place.
You ever been there? Totally.
No. No. I mean, the only place I've ever been is Providence.
Well, that's where you should go. Forget Sacramento.
Yeah.
I've been there once.
Yeah?
Totally, yeah.
Wow. Did you go with your family or something?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Don't be sorry.
Do you like it there?
Yeah, I guess. Italy has a lot of shady people once you get past all the tourist stuff.
Right. You don't ever think that maybe it's not the place that's shady, it's the people that you're choosing to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you go somewhere else besides Providence for the weekend before you start acting like you know everything? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm just cold.
You know, if you are cold, we could hold each other.
Excuse me?
You know, we could hold each other for warmth.
You want to cuddle me?
Well, it's a meteorical fact. I'm not, you know.
Meteorological?
That's what I meant.
If you try anything, I swear to God, you're going to fucking regret it.
No, I'm a little scared of you, so I'm not. Yeah?
He moves the lamp aside, stretches out, and leans back against the shed wall.
We're only cuddling for warmth.
Yeah. Cuddling for weather purposes.
She edges her back against him, then he curls around her, spooning. Scott listens to Ellie's message on his cell phone while riding in a black SUV with the two thugs.
Hey, it's me. We're fine, we're on it, but we got delayed, so it won't be going down till tomorrow. So yeah, we'll be at the motel in the morning.
So that was Ellie, and it's fine, you know. They're a little delayed, but they'll be there in the morning, so just drop me off at the motel, and it's all good.
What exactly is good about that?
It's, yeah, she has it.
She said that.
Yeah.
Let me hear the message.
I deleted it. She'll be there. I mean, she needs the money. I mean, and she's got to bring him, too, or else she won't get his share. So, you know, it'll work out.
Oh, like it worked out in Camden?
It was 3 years ago, Jimmy. Come on, man. Move on.
Yeah, maybe for you and me, moving on is a good idea.
That's not what I mean.
Scott answers his phone.
It's Darren. Darren, where are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm running a little late. I'm at my mom's house.
What do you mean you're at your mom's house?
I got a little delayed, and I'll be at the motel soon.
Well, then who the fuck is with Ellie?
In the morning, daylight streams into the pool shed as Ellie rouses slowly. She blinks her eyes open, props herself up on one elbow, and studies Danny as he sleeps. An exterior view reveals flowering window boxes on the shed, tall trees, manicured hedges, and a poolside rock garden. Danny and Ellie exit quietly with a satchel. Next, they are concealed behind a rocky outcrop beside the driveway, watching the front of the mansion. The teenager and the gray-haired man come out the front door with a middle-aged blonde woman. They all proceed down the sidewalk to the driveway, get into the silver SUV, and drive away.
All right, here they come. Whoa, she's clearly running the family.
Yeah, look, he looks like he'd be lost without her.
And you know what he does when he's lost? Calls the police. All right, hopefully she left the briefcase inside.
Oh, no, that's not the woman with the green bag.
What do you mean?
She was like, I don't know, 30 years younger?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Shit.
They make their way to the front door.
Oh, what if she locked it?
You just saw her not lock the door. The whole point of living out here is so they don't have to worry about people like us.
Ellie tries the door and finds it locked. They scurry around the house to an unlocked back door. She opens it, and they enter the house.
All right.
He finds a wad of cash sitting on the kitchen table.
Hey.
Take it.
She picks up a framed photo.
Hey, is this her?
Yeah, that's her.
I guess it's the daughter.
But she had the pills.
I don't know, they must be her mom's.
He hands her the cash, then leads the way to a computer in a study.
Come on.
There's a computer.
Oh, boom. All right. So, I just put their last name into their email and something should come up. All right, how do I spell it?
W-E-I-R-E.
Wariango, I got it. All right. We got Dave Wariango. We got Eric Wariango. Vanessa Wariango, with an I in the Vanessa.
Where?
After the V. Hey, Mom, do you remember the name of the hotel? Blah, 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 blah. All right.
What?
We got Vanessa Wariango, marketing coordinator, Annabella Advisors, 242 West 30th
Street. Oh, my God.
All right.
All right, I'm going to go change.
Well, why? What do you mean you're going to change?
Because I feel fucking filthy. Just go grab some food.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it.
In an upstairs bedroom, Ellie sets hangers of women's clothing onto a bed. Then she rifles through the outfits. In the kitchen, Danny rummages through a well-stocked fridge and goes about making sandwiches. Ellie stands before a mirror, holding a dark floral dress in front of her. Lord, it's bursting my side. Danny packs sandwiches and fruit into a red plastic bag, takes a good look around the elegant kitchen, then heads upstairs. Never satisfied. Hey, hey. Ellie is behind closed doors, holding a powder blue floral dress before the mirror, when Danny arrives in the upstairs hallway.
Hey, you in there? We should probably get out of here.
Yeah, just a minute. I'll get even someday.
He notices shaving toiletries on the bathroom counter, splashes water on his face, and proceeds to shave off his scant mustache. She is now wearing the powder blue dress and modeling it before the bedroom mirror.
I'm the best hammer swinger in this old section, gang.
She arrives at the bathroom door as Danny is patting his face dry with a towel.
Hey, put this on.
She hands him a light green dress shirt. Her eyes shift awkwardly as he pulls off his t-shirt and changes. He adjusts the shirt and smiles enthusiastically. A garage door opens, and Danny and Ellie ride out on bicycles. She wears her sneakers and backpack with the pretty blue dress. He toasts the satchel in the plastic bag and pedals after her wearing the handsome green shirt. A gentle breeze ruffles their hair and clothes as they cycle along a scenic road in a neighborhood of estate homes. Dismount and drop the bikes by a fence at the commuter station, then buy train tickets from a machine. A train whizzes past as they sit side by side on a sunny bench on an outdoor platform with the lake and mountains behind them. They eat their sandwiches.
So what do you think?
About what?
About my mustache.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you look better with it. You look great. At least better than whatever was going on there before. And I'm sure all the girls in your building will love it.
I don't want the girls in my building.
She steals glances at him as they sit together in a moving train. A montage of city scenes shows a digital crosswalk sign, a cherub statue with a top hat and cane, and colorful awnings on a hotel, a construction worker with a crate full of supplies, a sign advertising hot dogs, men in shorts, and various other pedestrians, a no parking sign due to a parade on Saturday, a Chinese laundry. Movers carry a large item, and a man stacks boxes on a dolly. A parking enforcement officer leaves a ticket on a car windshield, and a pug dog receives a treat. Danny and Ellie spot the woman with the teal green purse entering an office building. The thugs are in Danny's apartment with Darren. Jimmy answers the phone, and Russell enters notes into his cell phone.
Is my mom there, or did you put my brother on?
They're fine. Just give me the address.
Vanessa Warango, Annabella Advisors.
Vanessa Warango, Annabella Advisors.
242 West 30th Street.
Yeah. Got it.
And that's with an I after the V in Vanessa. It's not Vanessa.
Just sit tight.
Okay.
They'll send guys over.
She leaves. Stay with her.
She wants to know about the money. Hey, what about the money?
She'll get what we agreed to.
I want you to go to them and then meet Scott outside the motel.
Oh, and Darren, what me and Ellie agreed to? She's taking your share.
Darren sits by the open window, dragging on a cigarette.
I gotta take a shit.
He makes a cell phone call from the bathroom.
Annabelle Advisors, 242 West 30th Street.
Hello, Annabelle Advisors.
Could you connect with Vanessa Warango, please?
Yes, Warango. Please hold.
Hello, this is Vanessa.
Miss Warango, hi. Yeah, I believe you may have a briefcase that belongs to me.
Oh my God, yes. I have it right here in my office. Do you have my bag?
Your bag? Yeah, I got it.
Here's the thing, listen, I'm about to walk into a very important meeting right now, and there are some essential documents in there that I need right now.
Oh, well,
Look, it's a beautiful day outside. Why not get out of the office, right?
Danny and Ellie see Vanessa leave the office building with her teal purse over her shoulder and the black briefcase in her hand. Jimmy.
No fucking way, Darren. I don't care how long it takes. You're not running any errands.
Danny calls Jimmy.
Hello?
Sir, we got the briefcase.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. She walked out of her building and she had the briefcase with her. So we decided to follow her, right?
All right, but I told you to just stay on her.
Yeah. But then we started thinking, like...
Where do you think she's going with it?
I don't know. Do you think she's going to go to the cops?
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Right? So we decided to keep real close and watch her, and we didn't take our eyes off her one bit.
In flashback scenes, Danny and Ellie tail Vanessa as she takes a subway train. Standing face to face on the crowded train, Danny and Ellie make frequent eye contact and smile at each other.
She's getting out.
You gotta get that briefcase.
I'm wearing your mom's dress.
Alright. Let me deal with it, alright?
They follow Vanessa through an exit gate. Ellie hangs back while Danny stops Vanessa on a stairway leading to the street.
Hey! Hi.
Oh,
sorry,
hey,
I don't know if you remember me, but I got your bag.
Yeah, of course.
Look, I'm really sorry. I took it by mistake. It wasn't like...
No. I know. Don't worry. I got it. Here.
Danny looks stunned as Vanessa offers him the briefcase and they trade bags.
Right. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. I guess I'm going to head back down here, but thank you. Good luck with your meeting.
He paces and scratches his head as she heads back down the stairs. A moment later, Ellie comes running up.
She just gave it to me.
The phone call continues.
We were real smart about it too, like she didn't suspect a thing at all.
Danny and Ellie do a happy dance as they round a street corner with the briefcase.
All right, I don't need to hear the whole story. Just meet outside the motel.
Okay. Sir, can I talk to my brother, please? He wants to meet at the motel.
They got the briefcase.
What?
Looks like you're a lucky son of a bitch.
Jimmy hands the phone over to Darren as he and Russell leave the family apartment.
Darren.
Yeah.
We got the briefcase, man. We came through.
Darren.
Are you there with the girl? Talking Polish.
Danny.
Yeah.
Darren.
Thank you. Fucking God.
Listen, Kula, she's screwing us over.
Ona nas próbuje przewalić, Danny.
Danny.
What? No, she's not.
Darren.
She cut a deal with them. She gets my share if she babysits you until it's done.
Danny.
No, no, she's really cool.
Okay? Okay?
Listen, Danny, I know you probably like her and all, but think about it. I bet she was real insistent on you sticking around the whole time, right? Why do you think she would do that?
Danny shifts in place and gives Ellie an awkward smile.
You there, kid?
Tech.
Look, I'm sorry, Danny. She's a con artist. Stripper.
Danny.
Kelnok.
Waitress.
Yeah. Whatever, man. Point is, you're a fucking paycheck to her. But if you bring the briefcase back, then I can get the whole share and cut her out. Danny.
Darren.
Just wróć to rodzina, okay?
Just get the briefcase and come home, all right?
Dobra.
Danny's face falls as he studies Ellie and hangs up.
Tak.
All right.
Początko.
You speak Russian?
Polish.
Then I figured out we were sneaking in an intermission. I don't know, I kind of preferred it that way, though.
They walk together on a busy sidewalk.
What's wrong?
Nothing. What?
No, tell me what's up.
I got fired, alright? They called my mom. Darren just told me. It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
I missed my shift. It happens. It doesn't matter.
Wait. Listen. I was thinking that when we get to the motel, you should just wait nearby. All right? Let me go up there alone and handle it. I got it.
Look, I'm gonna call my manager, right? Okay, I just wanna see what she's saying. I don't wanna... Just give me a minute.
Yeah. Sure.
He crosses the street alone and picks up a payphone receiver. Her mouth falls open as he hangs up the phone and slips onto an approaching bus. She dashes across the street ahead of the bus, then runs alongside it as it crawls through city traffic. Danny stares blankly as he rides with the briefcase on his lap, unaware that Ellie is chasing down the bus. At the next bus stop, as the bus pulls up and opens its doors, she files in behind another passenger, then stands breathlessly at the front without depositing a fare. Danny looks up to find her staring at him. He wags his head around uneasily, then puts the briefcase on the seat and walks out the back door of the bus. The driver speaks up.
Miss, you got a Metro card?
I just gotta get my bag.
She passes through the bus, collects the briefcase, then exits through the back door. She stands on the sidewalk with it, watching Danny walk away in the distance. She turns slowly and heads in the opposite direction. Sitting on a subway platform bench, Ellie studies Danny's picture on a transit pass card. She rides a subway train, holding onto a center pole with a dismal expression. Meanwhile, Danny enters his apartment building, then sits on an inner staircase, listening to voices and fidgeting with his keys. He walks into the family apartment. His mother greets him with a hug, while Darren has a tantrum.
Daniel!
You didn't bring the fucking briefcase? Are you fucking kidding me, Danny? Fucking kidding me!
Derek!
Danny smirks.
What's a hoji?
It's fucking funny to you, man?
Yeah.
What? Hey!
Ellie arrives at a boutique hotel in an upscale neighborhood. She trots up a set of carpeted steps at the entrance, then cautiously approaches a hotel room door. She puts the briefcase down on the floor, then knocks.
Scott!
She exits the hotel and stands on the front steps, looking around glumly.
Ellie.
Scott ushers her into a black SUV.
Hey, I tried to call you.
Yeah.
She gets in the back. He closes her door and walks away quickly as the vehicle drives off. Danny cooks in the apartment kitchen, tending a frying pan on the stove while Darren sits behind him, smoking by the open window.
Hey. That girl? She isn't gonna leave anybody. Even if she thinks she is, she isn't. Trust me.
Danny mutters something.
What are you saying?
Huh?
What are you saying to me?
Fuck you.
Danny gets in Darren's face.
That's what I'm saying.
Darren exhales smoke, and Danny returns his attention to the frying pan. Darren flicks his burning cigarette at Danny's back, and the hot embers make him jump. Darren leaves the tiny kitchen while Danny squirms around, fiddles with his shirt, and then searches for the fallen cigarette butt. He locates it on the floor, takes it to the bathroom, and stares at it as it spirals in the flushing toilet water. The SUV travels through the city with Russell at the wheel, Jimmy riding shotgun, and Ellie sitting tensely in the back seat.
Russell, where are we going?
I don't know. To some rich lady?
Danny returns to the kitchen to find flames leaping from the frying pan. He rummages around frantically, searching for a lid. His mother rushes in, fills a glass with water, and prepares to douse the flames.
Come on, leave it. Just leave it, okay? Leave it!
He drops a lid onto the pan, smothering the flames and putting the fire out safely.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He reaches up and presses a button on the screeching smoke detector. He follows his mother out of the kitchen.
Ah.
The shiny black SUV stops at a curb, and Ellie gets out with a briefcase. She enters a classy apartment building, then raps on a penthouse door.
Come in.
She makes her way to a living room with floor-to-ceiling windows and a view of the city.
Come in. You can put that down.
A slender, fair-haired, middle-aged woman gestures for Ellie to put the briefcase on a coffee table here. And then sit on a couch.
Take it.
The woman sits down in an armchair and opens the briefcase combination lock.
You want another combination? 000. It's about the only thing these guys did that wasn't Byzantine in its complexity.
She pulls out an art print protected by rigid cardboard wrapping.
But you know how some men are. I think the more intricate they make something, the more impressive it is. Oh, there you are. The one thing the lawyer said I couldn't get. And I got it. Oh, I want to tell you something. Never marry a man who doesn't love his mother.
Ellie observes her with an admiring look.
$3,000 in that envelope.
The woman frowns as Ellie looks inside the envelope and takes the time to tuck it into her backpack.
Thank you. You can leave. And I'll let Jimmy know it's done so everyone else can get paid.
Okay. Ellie returns to the SUV.
So where are we going?
Danny's mother scolds him.
A skąd się ty? Idź to zetrzyj z tej ściany. Przecież za chwilę się do tego przylepi. No widzisz, co żeś narobił? Cała kuchnia zbrodzona. No nie będziesz tak siedział, różże się. Na litość boską.
A betting man steps inside the apartment door.
No a today by not open.
Czy ktoś wreszcie tego chłopaka nauczy? Cały czas tylko jakieś pożary nie były wadą. Więc za drugim eksperymenty, a ja wszystko robię.
Look, we're just gonna...
Danny looks up to see Ellie standing in the doorway. They gaze at each other and smile.
Who are you?
I'm Rebecca Vargas.
Rebecca Vargas? What's
your name, Rebecca Vargas? Yeah, we went to high school together, Ma. You don't remember?
Sitting on Danny's bed, Ellie counts out his share of the cash.
$1,400, $1,500. Don't spend it all at the club. Take it. And don't give it to your brother.
He tucks it into his pillowcase.
So where are you gonna go?
Bus to Pittsburgh.
Yeah? I thought you said you were gonna leave there.
I am. I owe it to him.
Yeah. Right.
He stares and nods, a view of wallpaper horses at his back. She shoulders her backpack.
Just wait. Just wait. You know, you need a metro card.
He gives her his transit pass.
I think I can buy one.
You can't, because you only have hundreds, and those machines are crappy, and I want to give you my Metro card.
They grin at each other and make lingering eye contact. He stares after her as she heads for the door. Ellie swipes the transit pass at the train station entrance and passes through the turnstile. She waits on the platform, sitting pensively on a bench with the wind tousling her hair. She stands as the train arrives. Danny putters around the apartment kitchen. He opens the frying pan lid and stares at burnt food remnants. Dashing around his bedroom, he quickly retrieves the money from his pillowcase, then stuffs some clothing and a photo into a duffel bag. He takes a quick look around, spots the dress shirt on a hook, and quickly puts it on over a green t-shirt that he is wearing. He hurries from the bedroom counting bills, leaves a wad on the little dining table, hesitates, takes two bills back, then rushes to his mother's bedroom doorway.
Mom? Mom? Project.
He runs outside onto the neighborhood, sprints down the sidewalk to the train station stairs, then races up to the turnstile entrance. Stops an older man who is approaching with a transit pass in hand.
Hey, sir, I give you $100 for your part.
Look, how do I know that's not counterfeit?
It's not. Just give me a swipe. Give me a swipe.
One swipe.
One swipe. Thanks.
The man takes the bill and swipes Danny through. Danny arrives on the platform as a train pulls in. He sits on board the moving train amid a diverse group of passengers. An Asian woman peering at her cell phone through reading glasses. A black man with a bald head looking around. A little Asian boy with his mouth hanging open. A gray-haired Caucasian woman glancing up and down. A broad smile comes over Danny's face. Walks amid a diverse crowd of transit patrons, all moving in the same direction on a station platform. She passes through a turnstile and proceeds through the exit doors. Danny waits at the train doors as his ride comes to a stop. Then he dashes out as soon as they open. Ellie rides an escalator while Danny runs along a street. Now she approaches the ticket window at the central terminal.
Hi, when's the next bus to Pittsburgh?
6:40 p.m. The ticket is $57.
She nods and takes off her backpack. Then she hesitates and stares at the floor. Elsewhere in the city, Danny is running at full tilt.
Miss?
Yeah, never mind, actually. When's the next bus to Providence?
While Ellie is studying a digital schedule board, Danny arrives at the central terminal and races past the middle-aged couple riding down the escalator.
Sorry.
Ellie is rambling through the station, past advertisement boards and departure gates, as Danny comes running through. He looks all around and spots her. She makes eye contact, then stares with concern as he rushes over excitedly and struggles to catch his breath.
Hey. I didn't think you. Look.
I was gonna go, and I just
I just ran all the way
in. What's going on?
Look, I want to go to Pittsburgh with you.
I'm not going to Pittsburgh.
Well, where are you going?
Providence.
Yeah. Can I come with you?
She smiles with emotion.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
He leans in and plants a kiss on her lips. She shies away from him.
Wait. I'm sorry. Okay,
it's
No, 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 no. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Don't. Don't be sorry. I just didn't. Do you still want to come?
He beams.
Yeah, I still want to come.
Good. And about the kiss, it's not that I just don't. It's a start, okay?
Yeah. I'll take a start.
They gaze at each other and smile, then turn and walk together through the station. Cut to black.
I like animals, yes I do.
Credits. Directed by Adam Leon. Screenplay by Adam Leon. Story by Adam Leon and Jamond Washington. Produced by Joshua Astrachan, David Kaplan, Andrea Roa, and Jamond Washington. Executive producers Frederick W. Green, Michael B. Clark, Alex Turteltaub, Michael Sackler, Julia Godzinskaya, and Sophie Vickers. Starring Kaylin Turner as Danny, Grace Van Patten as Ellie, Michael Vondell as Darren, Mike Birbiglia as Scott, and Louis Cancelmi as Jimmy. With Margaret Collin as Evelyn, Mariola Malekiki as Ola, Rachel Zeiger-Hag as Vanessa, and Dave Martinez as Russell. Co-producers Corey Deckler and Natalie Difford. Director of Photography, Ashley Connor. Edited by Sarah Shaw and Morgan Faust. Production designer Aaron McGill. Composer Nicholas Bertel. Costume designer Brooke Bennett. Music supervisor Connie Farr. Sound designer Ryan Price. Copyright 2016, Over the Barn, LLC.
I like the animals in the zoo. I like koalas and kangaroos.
Singing, hey ho, Alina, hey ho, Alina. Singing, hey ho, Alina, oh, oh, no,
it tonight.
De la Isla Verde viene Chicho Alvarez, el gran caballero, el gran.
Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.